Welcome to the Melbourne Parish Council Maintenance Committee meeting of the, whatever, what's the date today, Claire?
8th of June.
And an informal welcome, particularly to Kieran Baker, who's joining us as a new councillor, hopefully when we adopt him in a minute. Just a couple of rules of engagement for these Zoom meetings, if you haven't been on one before. It's basically no different to being at a parish council meeting in as much that we've got Claire's got the command, so she can mute anybody that she can, she wants to at will, which is power in itself. But she won't do that. And I think if everybody restrains themselves and talks only after I invite you to. So if you just raise your hand if you want to talk, and I'll get to you. Here's Steve.
Yeah.
Let's wait for Steve.
John, sorry, John, my
yes,
turn.
Mike. Yes, Mike.
I'm a total newbie to Zoom, and I'm just wondering what do you have to do to attract attention, or
just put your hand up. Imagine you're at a parish council meeting and you want to speak. Just put your hand up. you are at a parish council meeting.
Well, exactly. Yes, yeah. I'm going back 10 years and it was a bit different then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think Steve's having problems logging in.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make a start then.
Not the only one.
Hello.
We're back with Blake Seven.
Oh yes.
Okay, welcome everybody. And
sorry, I was late. I was dealing with daughter.
Okay, so first item on the agenda: MA 116/19 to receive and approve apologies for absence. Claire.
None received.
Okay, item MA 117/19 to invite councillors Kilmary, Baker, and Cowley to join the maintenance committee. So. First, I had a brief word with Claire about this before the meeting. Instead of having three separate votes on this, is everybody, are Beck and Graham, are you happy to do this as one hit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the proposal then is that we admit councillors Kilmary, Baker and Cowley as members of the maintenance committee. Can I have someone to propose that, please? That's Councillor Barnes. Someone to second? That's Councillor Clark. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Carried unanimously. Right, welcome, both of you. Very welcome, because we've been staggering on. We've been staggering on just quorum, just quorum. So that's great. Also, I have to say, this is, of course, the most important committee of the parish council.
Sorry, John, didn't quite hear that.
So, okay. Right. Item MA 118/19 to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations.
None received.
Okay, item MA 119/19, which is to approve the minutes of the maintenance committee meeting held on the 20th of February. Believe it or not, that was the last time a meeting was held. Madam Assistant Clerk, have you received any comments or corrections?
No, I haven't. No.
Right. So, can I have a proposal to approve the minutes of the last meeting dated the 20th of February, please? That's Councillor Clark.
Thank
Someone
you.
To second? Councillor Barnes. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Are Councillors Kilmary and Councillors Baker not able to vote?
Abstaining on this one.
Abstaining on the grounds that you weren't there. Okay.
Yeah. Not a member of the committee at that time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you.
Right, moving on then. We don't have any members of the public per se. One thing I should say, maybe for Councillor Baker and Councillor Kilmary's benefit, is that this Parish Council Committee is, I'm not sure unique, but it has non-councillor members co-opted onto it. So we have, for example, the wardens are normally represented. Tim Stebbings is here. That's normal. And
Stebbing. There's only one of him.
Stebbing. And Maureen and Les Briley, who represent the Rivermel and conservation matters. And also Mike Sherwin, who is here today. Very welcome, Mike. Mike used to be a parish councillor and had a particular interest in this, in the development and maintenance of cemeteries. And so we have these additional experts, if you like, who can come along and help us. Okay, there are no members of the public, so we'll move on from MA 120/19 to MA 121/19, which is finance matters. One of the things that happens for this committee is that the RFO provides us with a summary statement of the status of the specific spends related to maintenance, which he's done. I'm not sure if anybody has any comments on those. Councillor Clark.
Other than the fact that it all actually looks very good this year, we've apart from the grass cutting, etc., which obviously is going to expand us, is going to take up quite a lot of money this year, but everything else seems to be well on track. So well done, Gabby, for...
Yeah. Well, I think it's early days anyway, so there's no real trends.
Yeah.
The tree, she mentions that the tree work is heading over budget, but that is unavoidable. So with everybody's agreement, then I will just note that we've received these with those few comments. Okay, moving on then to item MA 122/19, Conservation Matters A, to consider a quote for work to ash trees opposite the Science Park from Shire Trees. The Assistant Clerk has circulated the quote on this. Claire, there's only one quote, and this is quite a lot of money. Is there a reason for that?
So, this quote was first given to us by Shires at the end of last year, I think, when we had the storms. And then, I apologise, because there was a second quote for this work from Hearts and Cams when the emergency tree works were taken up, were done a month or so ago. And the quote from Hearts and Cams was significantly higher, which is why we went back to Shires and asked them to revise their quote.
Okay.
So
in a sense, there has been a second quote, but
there was a second quote. Let me see if I can find it now. There was a second quote. It was higher, I'm quite certain. Sorry, bear with me for a moment if you can.
If it's a problem finding it, Claire, and I think we're willing to take your word for it. But this is thanks.
Yeah. Sorry, I should have attached the.
No, that's fine. I mean, what you're doing is reassuring us that there was another quote which was higher, and this is now a re-quote from Shires, which is up for approval. Yeah.
Yeah, these two trees were also highlighted in Ian Lawman's original quote from August as requiring urgent works, and the work wasn't carried out at the time.
Okay.
So what Shires have done is revisited the quote and taken out any extra cost for removal of ivy. They've just kind of said they'll do that as part of the work.
Okay. Tim.
Is that quote covering that work they did a month ago, or is there still further work to do? There's a lot of ivy congestion on what has been left behind.
So when I spoke to Shires, they said there were a number of self-set ash trees on that little plot, quite a number of smaller trees, and they would remove the ivy from all of them as part of the quote. They haven't
So that is still work to be done, which would be good because that will stop the wind sail effect.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I agree, Tim. I mean, those particular trees are, they're almost falling down. They have so much ivy on them. Yeah, okay. So let me then make the proposal that we accept the quote from Shires to carry out the tree work as proposed on the ash trees at the edge of the science park at a cost of £1,044, including VAT. So can I have someone to propose that, please? Councillor Clark. Someone to second? Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay.
John, can I ask a question?
Yes, Councillor Clark.
So it's a question for Claire. When we had the earlier conversations with Shires, when all this kicked off, he actually said that he was going to do a visual round the village and look at other trees with concentration of ivy. And I think a figure, if I remember correctly, a £45 a tree was muted as being a possible cost. Have we progressed that, or has he progressed that and given us any additional information with regard to other trees in the area?
£45 a tree was from the original quote for this work.
Oh, so this work is it?
And he's taken that out. And he's only quoted for the removal of the two trees. The informal inspections were really that. I mean, he said that as he's out and about in the village, he'd keep his eye open for anything that struck him as requiring work. But I don't think the expectation was that he was going to go and do a full tree survey of the village.
I just wondered if he'd identified anything else that might need urgent attention.
Haven't heard anything from him that he has, but I'll speak to him about that when I go back to him with accepting this quote.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on then to item MA 120.
John, Tim.
Sorry, Tim. Yeah.
Just before you do, in terms of trees that are seriously at risk, are the ones bordering London Way. There is a lot of ivy. Some of the ivy trunks are almost up to 6 inches diameter, and the trees are sit atop the bank. So when the wind howls in from the Royston area, there is a great danger of them being tipped over down across London Way and blocking it. And okay. As you're aware, there's a lot of vehicular traffic going up and down there. Mm. So that's a place that should have some attention paid to it.
Thank you. Okay.
I don't know if it belongs to the farmer or to the parish.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think, Madam Assistant Clerk, I think if we can just determine if the trees belong to the parish first, maybe, and then maybe get Shires or somebody to look at them.
Yeah. Okay. Will do.
Okie dokie. Right. Yeah. Moving on. Moving on then to item MA 122.19B, which is to note updates from the Wild Trout Trust resulting from works adjacent to the River Mell. Maureen and Les, have you got anything to report on this? I mean, I know you were involved in it.
Yeah, well, it was completed on Friday. The digger was taken off, and it all seemed to have gone very well from what I understand. Rob took me along the river to show what he had done, which is looking really good. And he is going to send in a final report, and he's taken before and after photographs, and he's going to include them in his final report.
Okay. But he's adding gravel to the riverbed.
Yeah, adding gravel and chalk to the riverbed. What was very encouraging, apparently, was when two of the workmen saw two big trout up that end, which is quite good. He's planted some water crow's foot, which is vegetation plant that demonstrates the clarity of your water. So if it takes and it's going well, that's good. And yeah, it's looking really good. There was a moorhen's nest there, but they managed to deal with that. And the moorhen was sitting quite happily on her eggs when we were
down
the river.
That's good.
Just did we need to do some more work on the nettles that are further down, and to do a dead hedge at about sort of mid-waist to chest height, so people could take the verge back a bit, and then people will be able to see the river, but it will also be protected. So it's quite a bit more work that we need to do when we can get up and
run
again. But obviously, at the moment, there's no River Mill working parties taking place.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Barnes.
I did. So I was there yesterday and I was having a look, and there are some signs on the netting that's protecting that area now. It said about plantings, the planting in the river or on the river margins, or is it kind of in front of that fence?
It's seeded across there.
Okay. It's just that I think the notice said to keep off it, but you had to get on it to read the notice.
I think he meant to keep off.
Yeah, I realised that when I was on it reading the notice telling me to keep off it. So I jumped off it again. But I just wondered whether the fencing needs to be like rearranged so that people don't go on it to read the notice, because my eyesight's not that good to read it from further back.
No, it is purely. There was a notice further up on the vegetation, so whether that's gone.
I don't know. I just felt a bit silly after I'd gone so close and then realised I was standing on what I shouldn't be.
You were fine. But it's wording is all, isn't it, when you come to it. But that's what he's done. He's seeded it with wildflower, mixture of wildflower and grass. Yeah.
Right. Cool. Okay. Councillor Clark.
Just quickly, he did advise me when I spoke to him that he was leaving quite a lot of gravel in the nettles for your group to actually use at your leisure. Yes. You know about this, he did tell you, did he?
Yeah, he did, yes, and we're going to use that to infill various places to create more current through there, which the trout like to breed in. They like a lot of water flow to bring it, the oxygen levels up for their eggs.
Oh, that's good. I just wanted to know that he'd advise you. He said he was going to tell you.
Claire, did you have a point to make?
No, sorry, I was just going to pick up Graham's point about the gravel that had been left there.
Okay. Well, is this item now, can we consider it finished?
Well, the work is finished. Yeah.
So the work is finished as far as Rob McGovern is concerned. The work is finished. Yeah.
Yes, it will need some fining up, and he'll come back and do that because we can't do it. But yes, the project is complete now.
So I mean, we don't need to follow it through this committee anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Item MA 122-19. C, which is to receive updates and reports on Stockbridge Meadows. Maureen, do you want to? There were issues with vandalism and other problems.
Well, yeah, I mean, footfall's gone up incredibly, which is good in a lot of ways, because we've always said it's a shame people aren't aware of such a nice facility. So everybody looking for somewhere to walk is great. Unfortunately, I mean, there are more people putting their dogs on leads, so thanks to Dennis for putting up the notice. However, Les and I walked around there a few days ago, and there was a young lady happily picking the wildflowers, the very few wildflowers we've actually got on the wildflower meadow, because she thought she'd like to brighten up her kitchen. And didn't quite understand when we explained to her. I mean, she was very apologetic, but it's when you haven't got many wildflowers, it wouldn't take long to sort of clear them all out, really. Mm. I mean, somebody's cut a path through where a path shouldn't be. It's taking people through an area which will disturb muntjac that lay up, and the water vole colonies that hopefully are still there. So it's a bit of a balancing act. On a positive note, the fruit trees that we planted just before lockdown with the Johnson and Methy volunteers are doing really well, and one of the residents who backs on is now watering them for us.
That's good, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's nice to hear. So it weighs up, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. You know, so Dennis, welcome, yeah. By the way. Hi, Dennis. I mean, did I hear something that you were maybe going to be able to do something to try and alleviate the problems of this informal path that's been created?
Yeah, I did make an attempt at blocking the one of the entrances of the new path, but I think with the footfall so great over there at the moment, I think possibly when the weather changes as it has now, and also as we get further into and we're off lockdown or back out of lockdown, when footfall will decrease, I think that may be the time to do it, because I think at the moment just blocking it up, they're just making other holes round and getting back in. Yeah. So I think as it stands, we may have to just live with that for a while and just do more to try and stop that when we're out of lockdown. Because yeah, okay. people, as Maureen says, people are out discovering, and they've discovered this wonderful gem. And I've been over there, sometimes, and thought it's a bit like Centre Parks over here. There were people playing frisbees and all sorts of things, but you can't stop them. You know, it's very difficult to stop them all, and whole families, which is interesting. I mean, they know it's there now, so
it's good, but it's a problem as well. Yeah.
The problem is they don't get it. They don't get it. It's a conservation area, as Maureen was saying. They just don't get it. Even though the signs are there, it's just a nice walk out, and it's a nice place to meet and have a play and whatever. But there you go. I think it will change as things change for everybody. But I think for the meantime, we might have to just live with that footpath and go and revisit it when footfall's a bit lower.
Okay, thank you. Beck?
I was just thinking that we've always wanted to encourage people to the nature reserve, and maybe with more people being there, it's an opportunity for education so that people do begin to kind of understand a little bit more of what that area is and what it's about. I'm not quite sure how to go about doing that, whether to refresh the signs or to... Mm-hmm. have more of have a really clear sign that says nature reserve at the entrance or something like that, and then a refreshed board with a bit more information, or maybe leaflets just outlining how it all works. But it seems a shame to treat it as a problem rather than an opportunity to educate people and to let them know what's there and how we're preserving it, maybe.
Yeah. I think that those are really good ideas. Mike, did you want to comment?
It was really an extension to the last comments, and maybe we can get something in the when it gets published in the Melbourne magazine, just to try and educate people via that means.
Yeah.
Just a thought. Okay. Well, it is a public education problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Tim?
There is more than one path been cut through, because I found another one right over the back that disappears in through the trees. But of course, it's a convenient, invisible place for dope smoking. And we do have some regular cannabis users that do park over there. But of course, the villagers have discovered every footpath now that was ever rarely used around the village. And the footfall on all of it, even though some of it's private land, is absolutely considerable. It is nice to see. There is quite a bit of litter, gloves, masks, tissues, all the usual paraphernalia, and I'm trying to stay on top of that. But there is an extra path. I don't know if you've found it yet, but it's right over. If you go through the wooden gate and you can see the picnic bench on the far side, and there's a little hollow behind it. And if you follow that through, you can go almost through to Melbourne Berry.
Yeah.
And they've crashed that path right through.
Okay. Yeah. Maureen, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with But everybody was saying about education. I mean, we have put articles into the Marylebone magazine, but I think maybe something like a leaflet is a good idea. I mean, I wouldn't know, because they, you could have them there, couldn't you? So they're actually available for people to, I don't know whether that would just increase the litter problem or whatever, but, you know, I think it is a lovely opportunity. It is great that people have found it. But it's just, I'll share Rebecca's, you know, because it's how do you actually do it? I mean, I think the magazine's gone online now, hasn't it, Melbourne Magazine?
So for the time being. I mean, it's always been online, but it's only online now.
Yeah. So
maybe, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, maybe that's what we do.
Yeah. Councillor Clark.
Picking up on Beck's point, which I think is excellent, what about having some sort of awareness at the primary school and the MVC? What about having sort of flyers or notices, or maybe someone going down there and just having a quick chat with the teachers and see whether we can get something promoted properly? Because it's the young people we want to encourage to use these areas to understand about nature, understand what's there. And if we can do it in the correct way, we can tell them that, you know, be careful, you know, don't damage, but please go up there. Maybe we could try and push it through that.
Beck, you were nodding.
I was, because that's exactly what I was just about to say. Okay. Maybe the primary school and things like that is a good way to go as well.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all for that. I mean, I think the consensus then is that we should try and use this newfound interest in Stockbridge Meadows as an opportunity. And we'll look at that next time we meet and in between. Yes, Claire.
Sorry, before we move on from Stockbridge, there was an email from a resident offering to feed the badgers, Maureen.
Yeah.
You were just going to bring that up, sorry.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't sure if that's it's that, but it seemed to. Yes, Claire copied us into an email from a resident who is part of a badger group, East Cambridgeshire Badger Group, aware that we have a set. I mean, Dennis might know whether it's active still now, and worried about the badgers having insufficient food, because obviously their main food is worms. So wanting to put dog food out near the set for them. So Les and I did respond to say, we think that's a really lovely idea and that somebody cares, but we're a bit concerned about dogs not on leads smelling dog food. But this resident was very clear that she seemed to know what she was doing and was going to clean out the containers regularly and would keep an eye on it. So from the point of view of helping badgers, I think that's great. I just think there could be a bit of a problem from free roaming dogs getting a whiff of the food.
And getting a whiff of the badgers as well.
Yeah, consequently then disturbing the badger set. So I don't know.
Councillor Clark?
I did hear that she was going to do this on a daily basis, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, badgers are night feeders anyway, so they probably would be okay as long as she's checking it and cleaning it before the walkers get in there. That should be okay. But it's going to have to be very well policed by this person, because I say they are night feeders, but I think it's, you know, assuming there is a set there and it is active, that's fine. It should all be cleared out, because badgers are quite, they like their food. But as long as it's all cleared up before the walkers really get in there in the morning, that should be clear. That should be okay. But I wouldn't want to leave food there during the day. It would have to be a sort of like a late evening type thing, or early evening type thing, before, you know, once the walkers are all gone. I think she needs to be very controlled of the way she does it.
Yeah.
I suppose I have to declare a view here, because I mean, I feel against it really. Firstly, because the footfall in the area is so high at the moment, and there's lots of dogs and dog walkers and so forth. But also because, in a way, it's just interfering with the natural processes. I mean, there are badgers there, you know. The weather's very dry. There's maybe not much food for them, you know. But I would say so what? I mean, they're badgers and they're wild animals, and you know, should we be interfering with them?
Good point. I have to say, sorry, I haven't seen much activity there recently with the badgers.
Yeah.
I've seen a few on the bypass, but I don't know whether they're from that set or not, but haven't seen any recent activity there.
Maureen?
Well, I think, you know, that's probably because they're doing what you're saying, John. They're foraging out further and wider. I mean, we've actually had a badger, we've had badger out the front in our garden, which is highly, highly unusual. So it goes back to her, I was a bit concerned about her own safety as well, if I'm honest, because she said she was going to do dusk and dawn. And, you know, whether she wanted to be over there on her own then, but...
I look to you really, Maureen, for advice on this. I mean, as I said, I mean, I feel inclined to say no for the present, at least. It just seems to be interfering with a wildlife area where it's supposed to be left alone.
They will survive very well on their own. They eat almost anything. They're vegetarians as well as they're omnivorous. So,
yeah.
So I don't feel we need to vote on this as such, Claire, but I think the answer, I think we should write back and say, regrettably, we feel at the moment, because of the high footfall, we don't feel this is appropriate.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
Yeah, will do.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, anything else on Stockbridge Meadows before I move on?
No, thank you.
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Then it's... Sorry, Mike. Yes.
No, it's nothing to do with Stockbridge Meadows. Just excuse me for a couple of minutes, if you don't mind.
Sure. See you later.
Another thing for nature.
Okay. Right. Item MA 122.19(d) to receive any other updates on conservation. Has anybody got any more issues on conservation they wish to raise before we move on?
No, thank you.
Okay, then let's move on then to item MA 123.19, which is allotment matters. And the first item, item A, is to consider a quotation for signage for the asbestos bin. We have a quote from Unlimited Logos, which is £40. I think this is a no-brainer, really.
Yeah.
So we don't really need to vote on this, do we, Madam Assistant Clerk?
No,
do you want us to vote?
Can we just record that everyone's happy with it, please?
Yes, okay then. Can I have somebody to propose that we accept this quote for £40? Councillor Clark?
Yeah.
And Councillor Kamari seconding. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Carried unanimously then. Thank you very much. Right, any other items on allotment? MA 123.b.
Unfortunately, Barry's not been able to sign in. He was going to try to, but I think he might have had some technical problems.
Okay.
So I do know that he's carrying out regular inspections because we've got a really long waiting list at the moment. So between us, we're trying to keep on top of any neglected plots.
Okay.
The only other thing I was going to mention to Barry, although he's probably on it, is that because it's been a really hot, dry spell and a lot of people have been working their plots, I think we need to be mindful of water usage up there because potentially it could be very high again this year.
Okay.
We'll have to wait and see, but it's just he was going to keep an eye on things.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Moving on then to item MA 124.19, governance matters, item A, which is to receive and note the weekly inspection reports from the wardens. This is, I think, probably just Dennis at the moment because Keith Rudge has been away. Just for those who are not familiar with this meeting, it's this sheet here, which is an inspection sheet, which is carried out by Dennis or Keith as a sort of routine inspection of all areas within the village to make sure that they are in a fit state and safe for the for public access. It's required for insurance purposes, so they carry out this sheet, and it's a requirement that we look at this and note it. And so, duly noted. All right, item MA12419B, to consider any updates on vandalism in the parish. Madam Assistant Clerk, do you want to say anything on this first? It's your spreadsheet.
Well, it's just, I've just been updating it with anything that gets reported. And a lot of it is just about groups of younger people meeting, and there being certain hotspots in the village where there's groups. I'm reporting it to the PCSO, and I've asked him to just increase patrols, which right. he's done. So, yeah, we're just keeping on, trying to keep on.
It doesn't look too bad, but it's as you say, it's mostly young people gathering, the Stockbridge Meadows issues that we've talked about already.
Yeah.
What's other people's impression? I mean, Tim, you're usually on top of this. Have you got an impression of whether things are quieter or?
There are little places where youngsters do decide that they want to talk to their mates, so they go and secrete themselves around the back of London Way behind PA or disappear somewhere for a chat and a few drinks, so they tend to leave their cans there. We've been very fortunate that the fast food outlets have been closed, and it's a shame that they weren't permanently closed, but we're now starting to get Yuck Donald's things strewn along the High Street and Royston Road as they access the takeaway stuff. They haven't learnt anything whilst they've been away that there's a clean village. But generally, it's not too bad. There's been a few little fly-tipping things, but nothing substantial. I think we've been fortunate compared to many villages.
Good.
Finished.
Councillor Clark.
Similar to Tim's comment, really, we've had some complaints about, I'm not sure the age group, I think it's between 12 and 15, they've been taking large packets of beer over to the back of the play area by the pavilion. Some of them I've managed to speak to and just said, look, can you make sure you just try and put these in the bins when you finish with them? Some of the guys are very, very affable and said yes, and you see them all by the bins filled up and stuff around the bin. They've sort of had a token gesture at it. So some of them are pretty good. There are some that like the idea of throwing them everywhere as far away as they can and making an absolute mess up by where the chessboard is and things like that. People, passers-by, have been picking them up, and we've been, you know, trying to keep the area relatively clean. But apart from that, that really seems to be the latest thing. It's taking beer cans and going up there in groups with about 20 or 30 beer cans. But apart from that, touch wood, it seems okay. to be relatively mm-hmm. light at the moment.
Okay, then. So thank you for maintaining it, Claire. We'll move on then to item MA12519, which is cemetery matters. Item A, which was to consider the installation of a new cremated remains memorial basis. But I think we're still waiting for quotes for this, aren't we?
Yeah, so I've asked Hearts and Cans to let us have a quote. And I was hoping it would be in today, and it's not. We've got four available plots, cremated remains plots. But I think installation of these bases is actually much more straightforward because they're just a fairly regular slab. That's right, isn't it, Mike? They're not expensive bases. So once we get the quote in, it should be pretty quick getting it sorted.
Mike, do you have any comments?
Yeah, well, no, there's actually slabs or stones, whatever, bases up there which will supply three sets of additional bases. So there's no need to purchase any, but it's the location of them, and they're actually set out in a certain fashion, and if there's any more, or when the time comes that they want to lay it, you want to lay any more, I'll be very happy to come and set up where they should be. And that also reminds me of the fact that the layout of the grave bases is beginning to get a little bit sprawly, and we're not using bases that perhaps we should have done, and if those get overlooked, we shall be it'll be a few years down the line, but we need to use all the spaces that we should be using, and that's just my passing comment.
Okay, so I mean, to summarise that, Mike, I mean, basically you're saying when Justin Wilmot comes up with a quote to do this, assuming we approve it, you're happy to go and advise on where the installation of new bases goes for cremated remains, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Thank you.
Can I suggest Dennis is involved in that as well, please? I think that would be quite good.
Yeah, actually, I've actually already been up there with Justin, and I thought we'd agreed where we were putting them, but maybe we need to revisit that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know, Mike, what the original layout was, but we put the new burial stones along the line, which is furthest away from the path. If you're looking at the graveyard, and the cremated remains, which we discussed with Justin, and there was going to be 16, which is another four blocks of four to be put to the left of the existing cremated remains plot. Yes. So I don't know if that's what you had in mind when you say about the layout, but that's where it was sort of said that they were going to go. If that's not right, then maybe we should revisit
That sounds fine, actually, because there's actually a line of them. And from what you're saying, I don't think you followed that line.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to follow that line. So we've left the second row of burial places shorter, so that we can come to the left with the cremated remains to fill that spot up there. But it'll take a while to fill.
Can I suggest that when you've got 5 minutes, we can perhaps just pop up there and I'll just sort of just talk with you about what the proposals were in the first place.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds a really good idea, Mike. So can I leave it with you two to liaise together and
make sure
that we're all talking on the same page?
Yeah, no, that suits me fine. That's great.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so Claire, is there... Will this item need to come back to the committee again next time?
I think it should, just to get the cost approved.
Yeah, okay. Well, we do have the bases. We've purchased the bases. It's a question of installing them now, is it?
No, these are the cremated remains plots. So the bases we purchased for the full burial plots.
Okay, so we haven't purchased any bases yet for the cremated remains.
No, but as I say, these are fairly standard 60 by 60 slabs, so they'd be easy to get hold of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you all very much. Okay. Okay, item MA 125-19, Cemetery Matters B, to receive any other updates and consider actions in the cemetery. There have been various issues in the cemetery, and nobody's rising from the dead or anything, but it's been problems. Yeah, so perhaps Mike first.
I've got a few concerns, but I don't know what, I have no idea what the solution is, but you've heard them all before. One of the things is dog walkers. that is just a very convenient way of people walking their dogs in a circular fashion to take them through the cemetery. And every time I go up there, and I do visit it once every few weeks, there's always dog walkers going through. The other one is that I noticed the other day that a car was parked, and it very obviously wasn't anybody to do with the cemetery, because there was nobody else in there, but this car was parked just inside the gates. So I would think that this is either somebody visiting the residence of the little road leading to the cemetery entrance. What we do about that, I don't know, but it could become a problem, because that is a very difficult little road to people to who have visitors for the cars to be parked. I even saw, and this was yesterday, I went up there, there was a guy on an electric motor scooter, three-wheeler thing, who went round the whole cemetery. He went up on the mound in this scooter, and he then went round all the paths, zigzagging around them, and then just disappeared off. What is it all about? But what can we do about it?
That's pretty disrespectful. Yes,
it was totally.
Deck.
As a dog walker, and I do walk up around there. I actually never walk through the cemetery at all, but it is kind of vaguely frustrating as you walk that you can't do that circuit round. And at one point I thought that Victoria Heights would have a kind of gap in the fence so you could go through the top of Victoria Heights, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. I wondered whether there was any way of, because I think it's going to be an ongoing battle if we don't want people walking through the graveyard, whether there was a way to accommodate a path somewhere that keeps people separate from the cemetery, but allows that cut through to happen. I don't know whether that's a possibility, whether there's like a little side path that could be separated by hedges or something, just so that circuit can happen, but without disturbing people in the cemetery. Just a thought.
Any other comments?
The only other footpath that I know in that proximity actually involves people having to go through private private property. One of the properties would be the orchard.
Can't go through there anymore, though.
No. Oh, is that blocked off now?
Yeah.
Because that then led through to going along the side of the bottom south edge of the cemetery on the other side of the hedge. But if that's blocked off, there's no answer to that, I'm afraid.
Tim.
Now that so many of the previously little used secret paths around the village have become virtually public access, it would be so nice if we could capitalise on this and approach the landowners and get some sort of approval for cut-throughs through different areas. It's great for the people around the village to stay local and get some exercise. And I've talked to a hell of a lot of them when I've been around litter picking, and they absolutely love it. They did not even know there was such variety of wildlife and tracks and areas in the village. They had not got a clue. Mm. We really ought to capitalise on this going forward. And I'm sure if we spoke to the likes of Tim Elbourne and other farmers, that we could perhaps have a little bit of set-aside now that they haven't got proper EU set-aside margins around the fields.
Mm. Good idea, Tim, yeah. I think, yes, Assistant Clerk.
Sorry, I mean, I would like to just raise that there was a letter sent in some weeks ago from a resident requesting clarity on access through the cemetery, dog walking, all of these issues. And I, as I understand it, I think the clerk was going to suggest a review of the cemetery rules and regulations, because there was a kind of informal nod that people could walk dogs through there, but it does, the rules and regulations need to be reviewed. I don't think it can be done on an informal basis. So
I think that's where we're going with this. Yes, Councillor Clark.
Yeah, that actually, Assistant Clark has actually picked up on what I was going to say, because since we've taken the signs down at the top end, the people that were actually complaining that they were being verbally attacked by someone in the cemetery for walking through there with and without dogs seems to have gone away. But having had a chat with this person, actually I think it's the same person that wrote the letter, Claire, they said that it's much more peaceful, and all of the people that she knows are respectful, keep their dogs on the leads and stick to the path. They don't deviate from the path. And I think that's the important thing. If you've got a dog and you're walking through, you can be respectful. If you keep the dog on the lead, no feces, walk straight the way through. You're out of the way of the actual cemetery itself. I walk up there quite a lot and go through there. It is very peaceful, but you don't want to see people having picnics on the mound, which is, you know, after people on the mound.
I think I understand that, except that the regulations at the moment don't permit that. Councillor Gilmary.
I do agree. I think we need to actually get something more formal, and we need to look at the regs. Sorry, Councillor
Gilmary. Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree. I mean, we have very few official circular footpaths around the village. There's quite a lot of crossing of land, and it'd be nice if we can formalise that and get them to be permissive footpaths. Yeah. If we can talk to the landowners, and including the including the cemetery. Thank you for your support, Mr. Stebbing.
Okay. So I think, well... Madam Clark, I think we're going to have to bring the regulations to the next meeting and make some suggestions on how they might be revised. And I think the idea of trying to get a better network of footpaths around the village is it's a really nice objective. It's a really good objective, no matter lockdown, no lockdown, whatever. I mean, this is something which we should definitely promote.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, definitely. Councillor
Kamari. Yeah, just to follow on, I don't see a problem with people walking through the cemetery as long as they're not being disrespectful. There's, when I was a student down in London, a lot of the cemeteries there, they are footpaths through and used as cut-throughs all the time. And as long as you don't have people having picnics and driving quad bikes around, then I see a problem with or without dogs as long as they're on a lead.
Great.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, no, I go along with what's being said thoroughly. It's just that at the moment it's an abuse of the regulations, and we need to clarify this. And and as Councillor Clark says, if people behave themselves, that's fine. Yeah. There's absolutely no.
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to be clarified, and I think we need rules which are enforceable and reasonable. You know, I think there's no point in having a rule which people are going to ignore because it's not a reasonable rule. So yeah, we've got to come up with something which gives the cemetery its sort of sacred sort of feeling about it, but is still practical from the point of view of people who might want to use it for a cut through or just part of a walk. Okay. So I think we know where we're going on that. So thank you for that. It was very useful. Anything more on cemeteries before I move on? Right. Item MA12619, Village Maintenance Matters. Item A, which is consider the Rossbar Play Safety Annual Inspection Reports for the Moor and Clear Crescent. For those who are unaware of what goes on, we have a duty to carry out safety inspections on play parks, and we have Rossbar to do this. I'm not sure, is it annually, Claire? Annually, and so this is our annual reports. They've been circulated. They're heavy going. Well, not heavy going, but there's a lot of detail in them. Claire, do you want to just summarise what you have sort of found on this, and we can discuss it?
So from a quick look over the reports, the majority, I think, of items that have been picked up by the inspector are fairly, well, are low risk and are typical ongoing maintenance items. So caps, bolt caps missing and so on. This morning, I'm sorry it's a bit last minute, but I did circulate a summary of the items that have been picked up. So just to, as I say, very quickly go through it. I think there are quite a few things, and I'd be interested, Dennis, on your thoughts. There are quite a few things that we can just probably sort out ourselves.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm sure most of it will be.
Without taking a lot of meeting time up with looking at the detail of this, I mean...
Sorry, please excuse me a moment.
Sure.
I think it's
the,
just a
case... So if I could just say something first, Dennis. I mean, where there are items of play equipment which have got a missing bolt or a cap, or there's some item of hardware, if you like, that needs to be replaced, what's the rule book on this? Can we order the parts from Wicksteed or whoever supplies them and then install them ourselves? Or does that undermine the insurance, or can we, or do we have to ask Wicksteed to come and do it?
Well, we can, and we have. If you remember, we replaced all the crutch straps on the infant swings last year. We did that. They were happy to supply us with the parts. We did talk about that at the time, whether we thought it would be suitable for the wardens to do that, and I think we agreed that it was, so we did go ahead with that. But I mean, if there's major stuff, I mean, the other thing you remember was the Clear Crescent. We were going to cut down one of the posts there, and we agreed on that. So there are certain things we can do. I think if there's anything that really affects the integrity of the equipment, then that may be a different matter. But I mean, obviously the zip wire was falling down, so we had to get that done professionally. But changing nut caps and stuff like that is well within sort of the Gordon's remit, I think.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, it's just, provided that doesn't undermine our insurance position.
Sure,
No,
that's fine. So would the best way of proceeding with this, Claire, rather than spend a lot of time here looking at the report, would be for you to go through this with Dennis and isolate... So Dennis has disappeared.
He's gone.
Postman just rang the bell.
So what I was saying, Dennis, was that if you and Claire go through this report and try and determine the bits that you can do, and then it'll leave presumably a few things that you can't do. And if we can either ask Wicksteed to quote on them, or maybe get a contractor to quote for them. I mean, there's a fencing, some steel fencing, for example, which needs to be fixed, obviously, because it looks a bit dangerous to me.
Yeah.
And that might be something that we need to get a quote for anyway, Claire.
Yeah, possibly. I'll have a word with Dennis. I think that's good.
Yeah, we'll go through that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Clark.
Sorry, just to throw a small spanner in the works here. I did note when I went through the report that there were a couple of issues, like the zip wire over at Clear Crescent. That looks dangerous, and it might have to be shut down. And also the bases underneath the zip wire in the moor seem to be in the wrong place when I read the report.
Yeah, although they kind of indicated that there isn't any remedial work that can be done. So, and they have been there forever. So
I think the problem here, Graham, if I could just interrupt you, is that the safety regulations have changed over time. And so, the equipment when installed was probably quote unquote safe, but it probably isn't now current regs.
Yeah.
I think just that it might be worth having a quick look in the early stages of this review at the Clear Crescent zip wire, because I do believe that, I think that was a red. And once something shows up as a red, if we don't take action and anything happens, we are looking at a problem directly ourselves. Also, not for this meeting, but just to put it onto the agenda and ask the assistant clerk to look at this, on the basis that we do have quite a lot of money in SY06s available, for working on this type of outdoor activity. I'm wondering if it might be the opportunity to actually start looking at whether we can use some of our S106 to do repair work and or replacement. Yeah. And that's not the maintenance meeting, but I think it's just something that the assistant clerk, yourself, John, and me to have a look at.
Yeah. And I completely agree. I mean, I think, and when you, particularly for the more play area, I mean, it's clear to me that some of the issues that they've raised are, you know, they're basically, this equipment is very old and it's not really easy to fix anymore. And so what we really need is a proper planned replacement of some of the equipment down there. And I think, yes, we need to look at that. There is S106 money available, I think. So we need to get a plan together, really, to do that.
I totally agree, Chair, and I think if a few of us were actually able to go over to these two play areas, identify with Dennis's assistance what we think to be the priorities, get Wixley down or someone to have a look at it, see what we're talking about to replace equipment or whether it is worth renovating the old equipment, and then we can look at an assessment, get a costing, and then we can talk to the assistant clerk about whether we need to look at S106 money.
I think also it needs to be something that's done with public consultation. You know, these are very well used, and you know, people are interested in what we do with them. If we just do it without asking the public, you know, is this something that you'd like? I think that's we're missing a trick, really.
Oh, absolutely. I think we need to do the assessment first to find out what we think is bad, what we think needs to be changed, and maybe get Wixley's opinion on that. And then we can put it out to consultation once we've got some facts to work with.
Well, maybe, you know, Madam Assistant Clerk, perhaps we could plan in a site visit down there.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to arrange that, we'll have a look at scoping it out.
Okay, yeah.
Sounds okay. Okay, I think that's good. So we'll move on then to MA 126-18B, which is to consider and agree resumption of councillors' street inspections. Now, I'm not sure who is that. Is there any Councillor Baker? Do you know what we're talking about here?
Loosely, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, essentially, something that's happened since, you know, the year dot, it's happened irregularly, but I think it's probably a very good thing, is that the parish council distribute or allocate various streets to the sort of names of councillors, so that a councillor has responsibility for inspecting, if that's the right word, their allocated streets for problems like overhanging hedges or, you know, signage that might be missing, and, you know, bits and pieces that, you know, even highway problems that are perhaps being ignored, to pass on to the right authorities to do something about. And so the reason for this item being on the agenda would be just to seek consent from this committee that we put this forward again. I guess Claire would need to go to full council to get the nod, would it?
I think it probably should, but it had been on a previous maintenance agenda and I don't think it had been discussed, so I just wanted it to go through maintenance. And then I think
we probably should vote on this, but I mean, I think the proposal should be that the maintenance committee proposes to reinstigate the street inspections as before, and that goes forward to full council for approval. Tim, did you want to say something?
I certainly do, because for the last 3 years we have come up with an inspection of road gullies, and we have presented that through Josie Howells and Susan van der Ven to Highways, and absolutely nothing but nothing has happened. And now even more gullies are solid up to grid level. So I really think we need to start shaken a few flags at highways to get this sorted out. We know we've got flooding issues. It's great having a dry summer. You wait till the rain comes. It's going to be a lot worse now because there is absolutely nowhere for it to go except along the streets.
Okay. No, thank you. So we need that as an action, please.
Yeah.
Madam Assistant Clerk. And so I take it that, does anybody have any comments on the prospect of more street inspections? Otherwise, can I have someone to propose then that we recommend reinstigation of street inspections? So that's Councillor Clark is proposing. Someone to second. Councillor Baker second. All those in favour?
Thank you.
That's carried unanimously.
Thank you.
Right, item MA12619C, to consider costing for the upgrade of the car park closed circuit television. Councillor Kamari, do you want to talk about this?
I guess. Basically the system we've got at the moment is not fit for purpose because we've had several incidents where the CCTV would have been useful, but we've been unable to recover the data off the hard disk. The problem is not with the cameras or the cabling, it's entirely with the DVR, digital video recorder. And I've reset that a couple of times now. It's currently running with one of my spare hard disks in there, and it's quite happy. I pulled the original disk out and I'm trying to get some information off it, but it's very difficult because all the files on there seem to have the same date. No. Somewhere down in 2015 when it keeps forgetting what date it is and it doesn't seem to want to update automatically. Well, there's been two quotes in for replacement and maintenance contracts. They are both, to my mind, absolutely eye-wateringly ridiculous. Both quotes seem to recommend the same DVR box, which is a Hikvision 16-channel box. I have found what I think is the same unit on Amazon for £300, including VAT, so we get it cheaper than that. They want to charge between £1,200 and £1,500, I think, from memory, for installing this, which is basically buying it, putting a hard disk in there, which admittedly is extra, and plugging the wires in the back. It's maybe half an hour's work to do that. And then there's a maintenance contract which doesn't cover call-outs. It gives us priority on call-outs. And I think they were both quoting about £800 a year to do that. They do one visit a year and they will inspect the system. One of the quotes just said one visit a year. The other one actually spec'd out that they would climb a ladder and have a look at the bolts on the cameras and so forth. But £800, it's essentially, you can throw it away every year.
So what would you recommend? So you,
I would recommend that we buy the DVR ourselves. I can install it. That would be the work of, say, half an hour tops, maybe an hour maximum. And the maintenance at the moment, Assistant Clark is logging on most days and checking that it's working and looking back at seeing if she can retrieve the data from the previous day on a couple of the cameras. If she continues to do that with the new system, and maybe the wardens, Dennis, can climb a ladder and have a look at the bolts once a year. It can be put on a maintenance schedule. Would you be happy with that, Dennis?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Clark.
I've read through what Councillor Kilmurray has said. It was documented. I think that's the perfect way forward. even if we had to replace it every year, it's still going to be a lot cheaper than going.
Yeah, that's right.
It, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. And thank you very much for all your efforts there, Steve. Yeah. I think this is the perfect solution for us. At least give it a try for a year and see whether it works.
Well, we get a new box where we don't have to use Internet Explorer because it won't work with anything else. Mm. It'll be a more modern interface, probably more secure. It just makes sense to me that we do this. And as I say, the cost of an annual maintenance contract, we get a 12-month warranty on the box. At the end of the 12 months, throw it away, get a new one. Okay, I don't suggest we do that, but you can do that and still save money.
It's an absolute no-brainer.
Okay, so, Madam Assistant Clerk, do we need to vote on the expense here?
Yes, please.
Okay,
I'll just prefer to, for the sake of completeness.
Yeah, okay, so the proposal is that we buy a digital video recorder for £170, is that right?
300-ish. We can reuse the old hard disk because there's nothing that I can see that's wrong with that.
Do you want to add a bit of money as a contingency to this?
Well, I'm just looking at Amazon for the link at the moment, and £294.99 for free delivery. So
you're happy with 300?
300, yeah, because there's no need for any other expense. Everything else is there. The power's installed, the cables are all run. It's just a case of plugging it in.
Right then. Can I have someone to propose that we spend £300 on a new digital video? So proposed by...
that looks by unanimous.
Seconded by Councillor Kilmurry. All those in favour?
Sorry, I missed the proposal then.
The proposal was Councillor Clark, seconded Councillor Kilmurry. All in favour?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Kilmurry.
Thanks.
Okay. Item MA12619D, to receive any other updates and to consider actions on village maintenance. Okay, I'm moving on then to MA.
Well, before you do.
Sorry, Tim, yeah, hello?
Gate in Ashgrove Alleyway being reinstated before the kids end up back at school.
Yes, it's on the jobs list.
Right. Are we targeting getting it done before the kids become at risk?
I'm waiting for quotes, Tim.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Tim. Okay, so moving on then to MA12719, Pavilion Matters. There's nothing specific on the pavilion. Councillor Clark.
Just two brief things, Chair. Firstly, Darren is going. He's going to start work on the two side doors and the bricking up at the front on the up above.
Are we talking pavilion, Graham?
Oh, sorry.
Pavilion.
Switch the brain off. Sorry.
Nothing on the pavilion.
No. Although, may I just raise something that came in on Friday? One of the football teams is planning to resume training, and I have said to them that the pavilion isn't available, and I'm proposing that pavilion. Well, I'm proposing anything. I'm suggesting that the pavilion should remain closed for the time being, and that it will need deep clean before it's reopened.
Yeah, well, I agree. And does anybody disagree with that? No. We're in agreement with that, Claire. You can note that that is the view of the committee. Okay, then. Moving on then to item MA12819, Little Hands Matters. Graham, you want to say something?
Sorry, I jumped in too early. Darren, the builder, is going to be starting work this Friday. He's running a week late because he was trying to get supplies for another job on the two sets of doors. And at the weekend, he's going to start doing the block work above the main front door and tidy that up. That will take a few days on and off. He'll be in and out. I've agreed that with the manager of Little Hands. We have one maintenance issue for the assistant clerk. We need to get an electrician round. Apparently the spotlight, and I've checked this and evidenced it myself, the spotlight that's just outside the front door is permanently on. It's not going off at all. It's supposed to be a sensor, It's not going off at all. We had that installed last year, I believe. So
yeah.
Get an electrician around there to sort of check out what's gone wrong with that particular unit.
Okay, thank you.
And that's been alerted to me. Apart from one piece of rubbish being thrown on the top of the roof, we seem to have been, should we say, damage-free for a while. So I think maybe the vandals have moved away from it. So everything else is okay. They've opened up this week. They've started on a slowly, slowly basis. So they are going to be getting back to some semblance of order and normality. I'd say they've only got 12 children in at the moment, but they are gradually going to build up. That's it. Thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on then to MA 129.
Sorry, John.
Sorry, Mike. Yes,
just a quickie going back on Graham's comments about the sensor light staying on all the time. Simple suggestion, try switching it on and off. I've found this work so many times. Mm-hmm. Just switch the thing on, off, and switch it back on again and see what happens. But
I will go around there later on today and I will suggest that. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Moving on then to MA12919, Outstanding Maintenance Issues, the job spreadsheet. Shall I go through this? And Madam Clerk, if you could pick up any points that I miss, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
So item one on the spreadsheet was reinstatement of the boardwalk. The boardwalk is currently out of bounds because of it rotting away, basically. My understanding is that funding is available and approved in principle from S106. But we're waiting for options from various people to design a different boardwalk. I don't know if anybody can add anything to that, but I know the clerk asked somebody called Tom Upcraft, who's one of these project engineers, to come up with some suggestions, and I know he hasn't done that yet. Does anybody have any other points to make on this? It's obviously something that we would like to get done, but it's funded. It just isn't going anywhere. If, with everybody's permission, I will take responsibility for trying to progress this now.
Thank you.
Okay, so item two was the Little Hands electricity box masonry removal, which is completed.
Yeah.
So we can delete that item.
Thank you.
Item three is tree issues opposite the science park, and I think we might have covered that during the agenda.
Yes, we have. Thank you.
So I think maybe we can take it off the jobs list.
Yeah.
Item four is refurbishment of Cambridge Road benches, or rather, maybe cleaning them. I don't know. Dennis, do you have anything to say about this? There are, I think, three benches on Cambridge Road which are covered in bird fouling, and one of them is falling apart.
Yeah, I can clean them for sure. There was talk about replacing with plastic ones. I don't know if that's gone any further or not, but I can clean them in the meantime if you want.
Well, I think that's probably what's needed. Okay. I don't know if there's I don't know if there's money available in S106 to do this. I'm sure there is, actually.
I don't know. I'll have to have a look.
Yeah. To replace them, I mean.
Yes.
Can you have a look at that, Claire?
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah. Sorry, just scribbling. Yeah.
Right. Item five, then, gate and postage bears.
John?
Yeah.
Just a thought about replacement. I see from the jobs list that one of them is noted as needing repair. Mm. Yeah. If the other two, is there any point in replacing it until it needs repairing and replacing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
just leave them as wooden for the moment and replace them piecemeal as required.
So item five is the Ash Grove gate and post repair. So this is the one that Tim wants done. So if we can make that happen as quickly as possible.
I will do, yeah.
Yeah.
Claire, did you say you had a word with Darren about that?
Yeah, I did. Well, I emailed him. He said he was going to try and have a look at it.
Okay, I'll tickle his memory banks when I see him on Friday.
If you wouldn't mind, well, he's in the village. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, item six was a field clearance adjacent to Grinnell Hill. I'm not sure if this is a maintenance issue or a planning issue. I don't know why it's on this list. I don't know. Did Councillor Kumari, do you know about this? This is.
I don't. So I'm not seeing anything come through about this.
Okay, so there are question marks about a work that looked like as stables. Development work next to Grinnell Hill.
I'm aware of what's going on because yes, I challenged the guy on site about what he was doing, and he'd acquired the land from somebody and intended to keep horses and build a stable. He is a full-time fireman in Royston at the Royston fire station. He kept insisting he wasn't a traveller, but that doesn't bother me because he showed me his ID card, and what I suggested to him that if he wanted to make his life quiet and peaceful, that he got to speak to Simon Crocker pretty damn quick about planning permissions. He has had that discussion, and I understand that planning permissions have been in progress for a while.
Okay.
Not seen anything through planning on that.
No. Is it something that you can take up through planning, or is it? We just have to wait for the planning department
to wait. We have no planning powers at all. We just got a power of comment.
Yeah. So I don't think this item should be considered by the maintenance committee. Really, it's got nothing to do with us. So I think I'd take it off the list there.
Okay, will do.
Item seven was zip wire repairs. I think this is at Clear Crescent.
Yeah.
And Dennis, there's a spring train has been replaced, yeah?
Yeah,
that's been replaced.
And the seat needs to be reinstalled so that we can be used again.
It has been reinstalled but not adjusted yet.
Okay, I think that was something they picked up on the report, wasn't it?
Because it happened just as lockdown. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's chained off anyway at the moment, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
Padlock.
We'll leave that on there then. Item eight was overgrown hedge back lane. You've written to the owners, Claire, yes?
Yeah, that was much earlier in the year before nesting season. So I haven't noticed if it's been done, to be honest. Perhaps.
All that hedge line has been cut along that road, but there is one very short section which has become quite prolific, and I'll probably put my secateurs across it next time I go down picking.
Right.
So thank you. So can we take this item off? It sounds as though it's been dealt with.
Yeah.
And, okay, trees on lane adjacent to Armingford Crescent. There were two trees felled on an emergency basis here, and... we're waiting for County Farms to give us a status report on other trees. Or not?
I'll have a look into that because I think the work that was needed has been done. I don't think there were any other trees that needed required work. They took down.
Yeah. They took down the worst trees, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll look into it.
There's an implication that they were going to come back with a report on other trees, but I mean,
were they? I'll follow up.
Yeah, I think maybe ask them if they regard that as being finished.
Yeah. Okay.
Item 10 was a fallen tree on the River Mell coming from Bilton's farm. That was reported by somebody. I don't know whether that needs action. Maureen, is that something that you know about?
It's down in the river, but it's not causing any problems. So
can we?
Yeah, we will deal with it. It's not a problem at all.
It's not causing a problem to the river or anything. So okay. I bet something will happen about it when lockdown eases for us.
Yeah. So from the point of view of the parish council, we can forget about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. We'll take that off the list. That's great. Mm-hmm. Orchard Gate dog poo problems. Tim, you're going to put signage up, it says?
Yeah, I think we got into a bit of a ruck about vandalising someone's gatepost with four staples.
Really?
Okay, so can we, is this an outstanding issue or can we take it off the list?
I think it's long gone and desiccated.
Long gone and desiccated, good, okay. Okay, item 12 were the question mark about the safety lights along the pavilion footpath not working. I believe this has now been determined that they are working, Dennis, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Thank so you. We can take, they are working, so we can take that off the list.
Yeah.
Item 13 was a car on the high street car park. No, sorry. Car on the high street at Water Lane. Car's now been moved, so we can delete that. There's a lay-by that was flooded on Cambridge Road. This is just up the road from where I live. I know that floods whenever it rains. It's been reported to South Cams, Clare. Presumably, I don't know, we ever hear back from them on this kind of thing.
It's part of my drains survey and one of the many solid.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's completely useless. I mean, if you're waiting for a bus there, you just have to stand in the water. Okay, I think we need to leave that on there.
Yeah, okay.
Item 15 is a leak on the footpath in Beechwood Avenue. I think that's been repaired, so we can delete that. Item 16, traffic speeding on High Street. I don't know what you do about that. It's related to the lockdown, I think.
That's just an ongoing problem.
An ongoing problem. I think take it off the list. There's no point in us having it on the list for no reason.
Can I just actually mention that I have an email that's been forwarded on by the PCSO today from one of his colleagues. They've had a report from a resident about cars speeding, and he suggested that we put it forward for Speed Watch, and I think there have been discussions about it before. So is this something for futures?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think
that's
a good idea.
Futures, yes.
Good idea. Yeah. Okay. Item 17, Palmer's Way overgrown hedge. That's a South Cam's responsibility. I don't know if we've got a status report on that, Claire.
No, we haven't, but I don't think it's been cut back. And it hasn't. And I'm not sure if South Cams actually think it is their responsibility, so I might re-report it.
Okay. Well, if it's not their responsibility, they need to tell us whose it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, item 18 was dog bin, various... sort of dog bin degradation problems that have been reported to us. And we're waiting for a proper report on this so that we can do something about it.
We bought some replacement parts, the rings that go around the top of the dog bins, and Dennis has very kindly fitted those. So I think on the whole...
Yeah, I'll just add to that, two dog bins do need replacing. There's one at the, there's a footpath between S near the Sheen Mill. The one on, as you walk in, it's immediately there on the wreck there. And the one in the opposite corner near Vicarage Close, they both need replacing. One has rotted, the bottom of it's rotted out. And the other one, the lid has broken off and what's left of the lid means that it's very difficult for anyone to put anything in it. So I think two do need replacing. Yeah.
Okay. So can we move up on that? Do South Cams replace the bins? Do we get them from South Cams or we buy them ourselves? Do we?
There are bins.
Air bins. Okay. All right. Item 19, then, was the smoke and bonfire complaints on the allotment. And you were going to get some signage for this, Claire. Has that been done?
Yeah, I made some signs. I think it's resolved. It was just one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, to delete that from the list, then. I don't know what item 20 referred to. I can't remember. Emergency tree works carried out by Hearts and Cams. Was that the work done on Armacre Crescent?
Yeah, that was the work that was done over that weekend when we had to get our Hearts and Cams out urgently. So
on the wreck.
On the wreck. Okay.
Yeah, that was
item 21, the gas leak on Cambridge Road has been repaired, so that can be deleted. There's a fallen tree at 29A the Moor. Has that work been approved?
The work was approved, and Hearts and Counts are hopefully carrying out the work. I'll double check, but it's. I think it can come off, do you think?
Yeah.
Well, if you feel it can, yeah, take it off. 6 Mortlock Street, overhanging bushes. So I guess we've asked the resident to deal with that.
Yes.
I think we take it off until next time we do an street inspection.
Yeah.
There's a tree down in Berry Lane, item 24, which is maybe not our responsibility.
Meldrith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were still checking that, Claire, yes?
I think it's definitely it's in Meldrith Parish. Whether it's the parish council's or the county council's responsibility, I'm not sure, but it's not ours.
So are you advising Meldrith about it?
Yeah, no, I've contacted them.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Station Road Verge. I don't know this.
I think this is, yeah.
It's historic, is it?
It will have been picked up on the most recent grass cutting.
Yeah, so delete that.
Yeah.
With the New Road Cemetery, item 26, that's, we've covered that in the agenda already.
Yeah.
So that can come off the off this list.
Yeah.
Car park CCTV, similarly, that can come off.
Yeah.
Work to Little Hand's Roof, that's also on the main agenda, that can come off. Stockbridge New Footpath, we've covered that off. That can come off of this list.
Yeah.
A tent in Stockbridge Meadows, I guess that's a one-off thing. That's not really an issue we can deal with here, so that can come off.
Yeah.
Okay, weeds in paths in Clear Crescent Play Park. We need quotes to tidy up the paths in Clear Crescent, I think.
Yeah, Justin's going to send us a quote for that.
Yeah. And similarly, there's a salt bin which is been broken, vandalised, I think, in Vicarage Close.
Vandalised.
And I don't know whose responsibility that is. Do we own the salt bins?
I think we do. I think county fill them, but I think we want them.
Do you need to get a new bin?
I think so.
Okay.
Not highways. No.
Pardon?
Do the bins not belong to highways?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that they do them, but I'm not sure whether it's our responsibility to kind of maintain the actual bin.
If it's on Vicarage, if it's Vicarage Close, that's private road. Does it belong to the residents rather than us?
It's at the corner near the bus stop of Vicarage Close and the High Street.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
It's probably on the High Street.
I didn't know Vicarage Close was private.
Replacing it.
Yeah.
Vicarage Close, a non-adopted road. Is it? A
yeah. It's the worst of all. I've got a friend who lives down there. He says it's the worst of all possibilities, because South Cams do the work and then charge the residents for whatever they feel is fit.
Okay, that's the end of the job spreadsheet. Item MA 130/19, which is new maintenance issues. Does anybody have any issues? Yes, Councillor Clark.
I think with regards to Clear Crescent Play Area and the Moor Play Area, I know the contractors have been in there and are doing the grass, so it really needs redoing again. But before we open up, both the play areas, I think they're going to need a clean, because there's a lot of bird feces and other bits and pieces that are going to have to be, removed before we let kids back on there again. Mm. So I think we need to put that down as a particular job. I'm happy to go over there with people if you want a bucket and soap and water and start cleaning everything down. But I think we need to make sure it's all done before we open up again and let families back in there.
Okay. Assistant Clark, yes.
Yeah, just was going to say to Dennis, is that something that you could do with the pressure washer?
Can do, yeah.
Yeah.
Speed it up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the government to advise that we can unlock the play parks anyway, aren't we?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. So as soon as we know, we can get over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that?
That's our home phone. Apologies. Okay. Somebody called.
We've reached the end of the agenda. So just to note, item 131.19, the next meeting will be another Zoom meeting on the 23rd of July. I hope you found this meeting worked okay.
Yeah. May I just ask?
Yeah, any other business?
This meeting was a 10 o'clock start.
Yeah.
Just to accommodate various other things. Maintenance has typically been a first thing in the morning. Are we happy to go to a 9:30 start?
Yeah.
9:30 would probably work for me until September. Okay. And then
We can review. We can review
it'll have to be yeah. 10 o'clock, but
okay.
Okay.
9:30 next time then. Okay, well, thank you all very much. Meeting closed.
Sorry. Hello. John, just a sec.
Yes?
Claire, were you aware that one of our previous parish councillors died at the weekend?
Yes, Maureen Townsend.
Yes.
So, Claire and I discussed that before the meeting, and I think the parish council, I haven't talked to Graham Clark about it, but I mean, I think the parish council should do something to mark that, really.
Well, I would hope so. She was a very loyal and hardworking.
She was indeed.
Yeah, absolutely excellent.
Yes, Graham.
I didn't know the lady in question, but obviously listening to what has been said and also reading about her, I've actually sent Clara an email on that. So yes, John, we will take some action on that. Definitely.
Yeah. She was a hardworking, loyal worker for the parish council and for the village. Yeah, so it's very sad to hear about that.
The BMX part was very much one of her projects.
Was it? Yeah.
All right.
Thank you all very much indeed. Very thanks, good.
Thanks,
see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Oh, God.